Councillor Griffiths.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have to say I have no problem with 80% tax, but I do have a major problem when we're looking at actually including child maintenance in this figure. My main concern with this is very, very simple, that I worry what happens when the parent who's paying the child maintenance doesn't. I worry what happens when the parent who's paying the child maintenance is out of work, unemployed, or moves. I worry what happens when the parent who's paying the child maintenance stops paying because of fear that they won't be able to, and the fear that it will cause the family that they've just left extra hardship. A little while ago, we looked at some of the child poverty figures for Clacton. My colleague here represents one of the wards that has very, very, very high figures. I'm very lucky in St James because my ward is below that of Frinton. A little while ago, I had the privilege to represent Jaywick and Brooklands, and it was a very, very different story. I know there how people struggle. I know there how much relationship breakup hurts. I know the financial cost. I know the difficulty that many parents have sending money to their kids in very tight financial circumstances. And to me, I do not believe that it is fair to tax children's money on the council tax support scheme. I believe that this is a retrograde step which in many ways will hurt the most vulnerable members of our community. At a time when we should be supporting children, at a time when we should be supporting children who've already suffered trauma because their family circumstances are broken, at a time when we have very, very real problems within family relationships, I personally do not believe that counting child maintenance in any way of any budget cuts is right. In my view, we should keep child maintenance out of any equations. We should allow parents to pay and support their children if they want to, and we should look for our tax cuts elsewhere. So I should be supporting Ivan on this, because I think it's vital that we support our young people and our families, and we make sure that the poorest, the most vulnerable are well looked after. As a Conservative, I believe it's important that we support people and put a safety net under those that need it and give them a helping hand. Thank you.
Councillor Stock.
Chairman, I take a contrary view to Councillor Griffiths, and I also think after 3.5 hours of a council meeting, to have this propaganda document handed round at nearly 11 o'clock at night is too much to take in. We're being asked to just accept at face value loads of figures and information and quotes from government ministers about alleged policy, etc., at face value. And why wasn't this emailed round to members with at least 24 hours' notice? There's no reason it couldn't have been, and I don't mind an amendment coming at the last minute, but documents being handed round to all members, taking another 5 minutes out of an already late council meeting at a time of night when, frankly, most of us should be in bed asleep, doesn't make for good decision-making, in my opinion. It makes for emotive decision-making, which may suit the purposes of the amendment, but doesn't necessarily suit the purposes of the residents of the district. With regards to the substance, I am fundamentally opposed to including child maintenance, because it's unfair. It's unfair on those parents who don't get child maintenance. Many people who pay child maintenance, most people who pay child maintenance do it through the CSA. The CSA take 15% of your salary. 15%. Someone on a reasonable salary, that's a hell of a lot of money that parent is getting. Why should they be getting that for free? Why should they be getting that free when their next door neighbour in an identical situation, but without an absent parent with a nice income, still has to pay all their council tax? That's completely unfair. So all this talk of fairness, I think, of the children, it's completely unfair. It's completely unfair. I'm a single parent. I don't have some absent parent giving me loads of money to pay towards the council tax. I've got to try and find it myself. And I think this is just unfair and divisive. It's just people on child maintenance are getting, on the whole, quite a lot of money. It's particularly if their ex-partner is in a decent job, and lots of people are. And, OK, I accept Councillor Hawkins' point. Maybe predominantly that's male That's more reflection on the court system than it is on anything else, I think, in society. So I don't accept that that's a sexist policy. I think the amendment is an emotive one, but it's not good for the residents of Tendring, and I'm fundamentally against it.
Thank you, Councillor Stock. Councillor Miles.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, first of all, I want to make the point that I do support that all residents should make a contribution to the council tax. And I support that principle because I, having worked with a range of families from the most people who are wealthy people with private education to the most vulnerable, I believe passionately that enabling people, encourage them to make a contribution, increases their self-esteem, their pride, their, you know, whatever. However, on this second motion, I actually do also support the principle that perhaps we should make an allowance for child maintenance. And this is for a few reasons. The first is, I believe that child maintenance should be spent on the child. We know it doesn't happen. We know that. We know that from people that we see day in, day out. However, the principle is the money should be spent on the child, and therefore for us to include it into something I think is wrong. I'm pleased that our government has decided to, you know, look at child benefit again in terms of how it caps its contributions to families. However, my understanding is that, you know, child maintenance could be capped at one or two children in the future. And I also support that principle. I'm sorry, you know, if you can't afford to look after your children or whatever, in this day and age, there is no need to have a very large family. And I come from a very, very large family. And my parents looked after me when there was no welfare benefits at all. So I do think that on this amended motion, I personally would like to support the principle. However, I would like to see a cap in there that it's only one or two maximum children's maintenance that is ignored, if you like, a percentage of it. And I would like to say as well that when we read statistics from all sorts of agencies, including charities, etc., I do not agree with their definition of how you define child poverty. You know, it's really, really detrimental to society how some of these charities put their cases over, because it makes people dig their heels in, if I'm frank with you. But on this occasion, I'm happy to support the motion, but I would like to see some sort of cap there.
Right. Councillor Howard.
Thank you, Chair. It's interesting, the discussion point here. It's often being cast as if it's a black and white case. It really isn't. There are things in favour of it. There are things against it. There is no one size fits all for these types of things. Just addressing some of the things that have been brought up, we talked about the child maintenance service being an extra tax of 4%. It's clearly an administration fee to actually recover the money. We talked about child maintenance, and there's issues about whether it's actually paid. So what if it's agreed to be paid and it's not paid? Do you then give people the award, and then if it's paid later, do you have to reclaim it? Is there an admin cost to us for overseeing that sort of thing? The whole area becomes unnecessarily complicated, and that in itself is a reason not to start going down this route. The idea has been mentioned as well now about whether the money's actually spent on children. Well, not necessarily. So it's not necessarily taking money away from children. That's just an emotive way of putting it. We talk about taking the money from the austerity reserve. The issue about that is that's all well and good, but is it a sustainable solution? We should be looking for sustainable ways of paying for things. However, having said all of those things, I do strongly believe that this is a strong amendment, and I will be supporting it.
Councillor Kelvin.
Thank you, Chair. As you're well aware, Chair, it's been a long night and there's been lots of significant disagreements. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what the council is all about. Let's be honest, if we weren't wired differently, we'd all be sitting the same side of the table. The simple fact is, while there have been political differences tonight and there have been philosophical differences tonight, and at times we both sides have been very unhappy with the line taken by the other, this is about children. And surely this must be the one area that we can all unite on, because whatever my differences, politically and philosophically, with the party opposite, I do not believe that there is one person, the other side of this chamber, that doesn't feel the same way about protecting children as everybody does this side of the chamber. And I think on this issue, this is the issue tonight where we should be able to come together. I accept when John initially gave the subject of his amendment, there were murmurings of discontent on the other side of the chamber, but I also accept that was before they heard the compelling reasons he was giving. So I can understand they might have had concerns initially. I hope, having heard the facts, and I must say, Councillor Stock, I am disappointed that you dismissed Gingerbread's report as a propaganda document.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, we all get heated. On this one, please let us show we can unite when the cause is just and put the needs of the children within the Tendrin district first and support this amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Coley.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just a bit concerned that at 10 to 11 at night, we are then served with a 4 to 5 page document that I cannot read because I'm trying to listen to the debates. There are 9 links to other supporting documents within these notes that I have no opportunity to access or read at this time of night. And we're asked to make a decision on this amendment based on this information. I think it's appalling. Thank you.
Councillor Sambridge. Did you want Councillor Sam? No? Was it Councillor Heaney? There was someone over there, I can't see her. Councillor Heaney.
I spent years in the family courts, and some children never get their maintenance. Some people are thousands of pounds in arrears. The most clever trick is you get divorced or you separate, you're never married. Your CSA comes after you, child support agency. Oh, I'm working for myself now. I've got a very low income. You know, they leave their job and they don't. That's what happens. People are really, really have a difficult time if they have a partner who refuses to pay any maintenance. And these people are going to be caught in this trap here. And for that reason, I'm going to support the amendment.
Councillor Patton.
Thank you. I think the categorisation of the gingerbread sheet as propaganda is probably wrong, but I do think it is a splendid piece of advocacy. So I think there's a kind of semantic point about that. What I would like to know is the following, really. A lot of the views of this side in terms of why not to accept the First Amendment was based on being part of a group of councils and being equitable. I think 6 councils you described as having the 80% limit. When I look at this list on the back of the gingerbread thing, which is not propaganda or advocacy, it's just a matter of fact, and it's also reported that Colchester are going to change their mind, it seems to me that argument for 6 councils being part of a pack in Essex doesn't play at all. The question I would really like to know is I would like to know from the portfolio holder, if this amendment is accepted, what, in his estimation, that would cost in addition per year. That's the figure we haven't heard from. But this is as much a financial question as anything else, because, of course, this money doesn't go directly, hypothecated, to children. It goes to the family. Well, let's hear from the portfolio holder, because that might inform a lot of people's decision on the doability of it in terms of the council's means.
Thank you. And I think we'll wind up with Councillor Richardson, please. Did see her hand up, didn't I?
Yeah. Hello, yeah. I'd like to actually say that we've been talking about the
what's it called? The money that they get from other partners will go towards those children. It doesn't automatically go towards those children. We're talking about the general public here. We can't categorise it. I completely and utterly agree. But most of those people do not use that money for that child's benefit. We're also then talking about we need to look after our residents from this area. Nearly the people who work, who get child benefit, that is meant to go to their children as well. Are you going to reduce their rates as well? It's exactly the same principle.
Who do I ask now? Councillor Guglielmi. We are then going to wind up, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for indulging me. I wasn't going to speak on this, but I've been at the receiving end of the CSA for 2 years. I was being penalised for working 70, 80 hours a week to pay money over to someone who did not really need it. And did she spend it on the child? No, she did not. She financed her little trips abroad with that. And how many more like me are there in the district that are in the same boat exactly as I am, as I have been? The CSA is an evil organisation which has been criticised by not one, but the whole country. Even the people that run it, they said it shouldn't be run like that. And really, that's people should take on board. How many people are paying maintenance which will never, ever, ever reach the child? And that's really the point I'd like to make when people go to the vote and vote with the amendment. Just be careful what the CSA administers a fund to.